Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder they took to flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the junipers. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the hyrax. He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then people go out to their work, to their labor until evening. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you form to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul, praise the Lord. So I chose to read Psalm 104. If you know me at all, you probably won't be a surprise why. And also, the Lion King, just that the picture of all those animals there, as you saw, and the music, you know, that great opening just makes me smile. And as read through the psalm, I'm sure you probably noticed, and from your own experiences of nature, good and bad, I guess, that there's an incredible, deep joy and to be found in nature. And for me, that resonates really richly. And Joe's going to read the psalm again, and just picture, allow the picture to go into your mind and as you think about joy and God's creation.
Let all that I am praise the Lord. O Lord my God, how great you are. You are robed with honour and majesty. You are dressed in a robe of light. You stretch out the starry curtain of the heavens. You lay out the rafters of your home in the rain clouds. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride upon the wings of the wind. The winds are your messengers. Flames of fire are your servants. You placed the world on its foundation so it would never be moved. You clothed the earth with floods of water, water that covered even the mountains. At your command, the water fled. At the sound of your thunder, it hurried away. Mountains rose and valleys sank to the levels you decreed. Then you set a firm boundary for the seas so they would never again cover you made springs pour water into the ravines, so streams gush down from the mountains. They provide water for all the animals, and the wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds nest beside the streams and sing among the branches of the trees. You send rain on the mountains from your heavenly home, and you fill the earth with the fruit of your labour. You cause grass to grow for the livestock and plants for people to use. You allow them to produce food from the earth, wine to make them glad, olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength. The trees of the Lord are well cared for, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. Then the birds made their nests, and the storks made their homes in the cypresses. High in the mountains live the wild goats, and the rocks form a refuge for the hyraxes. You made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to set. You sent the darkness and it became night, when all the forest animals prowl around. Then the young lions roar for their prey, stalking the food provided by God. At dawn they slink back into their dens to rest, then people go off to their work where they labour until evening. O Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the ocean, vast and wide, teeming with life of every kind, both large and small. The ships sailing along, and the Leviathan which you made to run in the sea. They all depend on you to give them food as they need it. When you supply it, they gather it. You open your hand to feed them and they are richly satisfied. But if you turn away from them, they panic. When you take away their bread, they die and turn again to dust. When you give them your bread, life is created and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord continue forever. The Lord takes pleasure in all that he has made. The earth trembles at his glance. The mountains smoke at his touch. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God to my last breath. May all my thoughts be pleasing to you, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let all sinners vanish from the face of the earth. Let the wicked disappear forever. Let all that I am praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And so for me, nature brings me great joy. The plants, all the different variety from the little tiny trigger plants and to the orchids to the bigger grass trees and magnificent carry trees down south and all everything in between. The way that it fits together and the way that it provides so many different things, even more than perhaps we even understand. And animals, you know, how the animals depend on the plants and how they all work together. And birds in particular, I think I've spoken a little bit about birds before. So my mate and I went down, did a crazy bird watching trip yesterday morning. I left my house at 1 o'clock in the morning. And we got down there at 3:30 when it was still dark because we wanted to see some night birds. Owls, it's hard to see owls during the day, but we didn't see any. Was it worth it? Yeah, absolutely, it was worth it because we did see some birds, and the birds that we saw, we did see and hear, were really cool. So this is just a little bit about me. Family brings me great joy as well. And I just wrote here, going to the zoo. Who loves going to the zoo? Yeah. Who loves seeing, gets a bit disappointed when you go to an enclosure and you can't see the animal? You know, like the hyenas are always hiding and the lions. They made the lions' enclosure really good because they're always just there. And that's really cool. And so, yeah, sharing my love of animals with my family is really good. I've got two exclamation marks there, going to the zoo. And sport and watching the footy with my kids brings me great joy as well. And who watched the grand final yesterday? Yeah, who was a Demon supporter? Who was a Bulldog supporter? Oh. So there'll be a lot of Demons fans that will be really full of joy, won't they? And then perhaps the Bulldogs fans won't be so joyful. But there's a little bit of a difference to, your team winning the grand final and having that joy compared to having a heart of joy. And so that's what we're talking about today. What brings you joy? Chasing after a heart of joy through all seasons of life. Because quickly you think, like for me, I've said all the things that I enjoy that brings me great joy. But what happens when I can't do them? What happens if, I don't get a chance to go bird watching for a long time? Or now that the footy season's finished, or maybe I'm stuck in the office and I'm away from family and things like that. How can we have joy in seasons like that? And for you, insert the things that you enjoy when you can't do those things. How do you still have a heart of joy in those seasons? And absolutely feel free to continue to fill out that piece of paper with a pencil and think about, what brings you joy in life? And we'll share that a bit later. So seasons of life that aren't particularly joyful. And I think this is really important to think about. And we've gone through purposefully looking at Psalms of lament and how David lamented, and then repentance and when there's sorrow for sin. I think we've purposefully gone through those ones first because that's just real life, isn't it? That sometimes, well, more than sometimes, perhaps, there are seasons of life that aren't particularly joyful and you don't enjoy them. And I think I've come to an understanding that when you enjoy something, it means that you are content with that and you're not wanting to change that circumstance. But when you're not enjoying something, like going to the zoo and you can't see the animal that's supposed to be there, it's hard to enjoy that because you want to change that. You want the animal to just spring out from and be able to see it, and connect with that and enjoy it. So when you don't enjoy something, you're wanting to change a circumstance. And it's important to think about through the life of King David. For him, he was a little boy and he was out in the wilderness. And then something happened to him. This guy came and poured oil on his head and said, "You're going to be the next king." And but yet that didn't happen straight away. And there was a sense of waiting. And then he had this amazing experience of defeating Goliath. And then, he had great victories in war. And people were saying and comparing him to Saul. And yeah, he had great victories, but then there was this time where Saul got jealous of him because people were saying that Saul's killed his thousands, but David's killed his tens of thousands. And Saul was like, "Oh, I want to get rid of this guy because he's making me look bad." And so David went through all this. There was not a lot of joy for him in his circumstances, was there? You know, in the cave and running away, being fearful for his life. But yet he still had a heart like God that was full of joy. And so writing these psalms, as you look through it, I don't know who's read all the psalms so far in this series. That's a bit of a challenge for you. But generally, you always see this shift from this is not a joyful experience for whatever happens. He's lamenting or he's repenting of sin. But yet, there's always something in there about rejoicing and about an understanding that though he would like to change the circumstance, he knows that he can't. And so it's more of his heart that needs to change. And so it's fascinating to tease out the meaning of this sometimes. Like you can compare joy to happiness. And I think, you know, sometimes it's hard to exactly define it, but you know that there's a difference because happiness is more like what's happening around you sometimes. But you can still have joy in that, a heart of joy through that. Happiness means that, yeah, everything's going well sometimes, but when it's not, can you still have joy? The difference a little bit like love and like. You know, you might love someone deeply, but there's lots of things that you might not like about them and you might want to change about them. But does that mean you stop loving them? And also the difference between hope and wishing. You know, you might wish that something might happen or change, but if that doesn't happen, does that mean you don't still have hope? That if your hope is deeply grounded in God and all that he has done for you, you know, doesn't mean you stop wishing for things to change, or, you know, can you see the difference? There's this deeply complex, another comparison is being blessed compared to being lucky. So you might be lucky, you might have a lot of fortunate circumstances go your way, but if God blesses you, sometimes he allows those difficult things to happen. And you might say, oh, I'm unlucky, but perhaps God sees that from a different point of view. Maybe he's blessing you in a different way so that your heart can be changed. So there's this comparison between these two things. One's a little bit more surface level and there's another thing that's really quite deep. And it's all because we are made in the image of God. And all these things are a reflection of God's character. God is a God of joy. His spirit is a spirit of joy. And the next slide says, sometimes joy comes through sadness. I don't know if you've seen this Disney movie called Inside Out. It's an interesting animated movie, and the main characters are the emotions in this little girl's brain. And it's a really interesting thing, and so the main character is joy. But then this blue character comes along called Sadness, and she kind of ruins things. Like, you know, there's these core memories, and they're all green because they're joyful, and they make up who she is. But then sadness comes along and you know, changes them, and there's a reflection of sadness on that. And so there's this joy thinks, no, kind of sadness, go away. But there's this really profound thing at the end of it that there's this memory where it's really sad, and it was more focused on the joy of that. But actually sitting in the sadness there was really important. It was really character shaping for this girl. And so without sadness, without sitting in that sometimes means that, you know, it's okay to grieve the loss of things, and it's good to do that. It's good to lament on things. And then that allowing God to go through this process of him revealing what he might be speaking to you about, that then joy can come afterwards. It's not necessarily, you know, you've got to quickly rush through grief so that you can be happy again. But, you know, joy comes through sadness, and sadness can be good. You don't stay sad necessarily. And so, you know, working through seasons of depression and where physically you might not be able to do the things that you want to do, how do you find joy in those times? That's a really important thing. And God can do that through you. Perhaps it takes people around you to get you through that. But it's definitely not a quick fix, and I don't think it ever should be. The dark night of the soul could be, you know, Keith Ford was saying, "How long, O Lord? How long is this darkness going to be?" I guess however long it needs to be. So then, you know, thinking of joy, and even on the way here, I was talking to Ray, and he said, I was speaking about joy, and he said, "Oh, yeah, that verse, the joy of the Lord is my strength, is your strength, our strength." And that's a really important one, because thinking about what the people were going through there, so in Nehemiah 8, verse 10, that's where it comes from. And so Nehemiah is reminding them that, yes, okay, you're sad because the law is just read, and you've realized, oh man, we've really missed the point of the law. We've been disobedient and unfaithful, and God has judged us, and we've been in exile for 70 years. And it's good to be sad about that, but then he's reminding them that that the joy of the Lord is your strength, that the realization that they have returned to the promised land, that God has fulfilled his promise to them of having a future and a hope, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, that was during their exile. And there's still going to be that 70 years of exile, that season of sadness, but the joy of the Lord in him rescuing you and providing for you is your strength. So sure, be sad of your sin, but remember that there is joy to be had in the Lord. And so being in presence with God leads to great joy. There's that contentment and that being satisfied with what God is wanting to do in your circumstances in all seasons of life. And then the next slide, this really, you know, sheds an incredible light on this situation, is that Jesus had joy set before him. Hebrews 12:2 is so significant. And if you don't necessarily understand the difference between joy and happiness, then you'll struggle to think, well, what kind of enjoyment or happiness did Jesus ever had going through this experience of the cross? You know, this symbol of the cross here, for us, it reflects that joy that Jesus had, but there's no happiness or enjoyment in that. It's a deep suffering and a deep pain that he went through. But he still endured that. He endured it because of his great love for us. Despite the circumstances, even before, you know, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's on his knees before God saying, "If there's any other way, please provide that, because my humanity is really struggling with all that I'm going to have to endure." But he still went through with it, didn't he? There was a deep sense in his heart that was provided by God and God's Spirit of joy there that caused him to endure the cross. The power of the Spirit in him allowed him to go through that suffering because of his great love for us and his peace in knowing that there was a purpose in that suffering. And, you know, that's kind of the greatest example of joy allowing us to overcome circumstances. And you know, we kind of hold that up there as the greatest example. But it doesn't mean that we can't necessarily relate some of that to us, because that's what the writer of Hebrews is doing. He is saying, fix your eyes on him as the author and perfecter of our faith. When we have faith and trust in him, then we fix our eyes on him. And, you know, we aren't enjoying these circumstances. We aren't happy about this and we want it to change. But yet, he went through that joy for us. I'm sad about my sin, but I know that I'm forgiven because all that he went through. So this just, it's just such an incredible thing, having a heart of joy in all seasons of life. And so that verse is very important. And those two verses together, I hope you can remember those two things. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne. He was exalted into a place, and he wants to lead us to that place too. You know, in John, where it says, I'm going to the Father and I'm preparing a place for you, he wants us, he's there and he's reaching down to us. He's sent his Spirit, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. And that's one of the reasons why every night I pray for my kids, that they would know the love, joy, and peace of God. And so if they can experience that when they're little, then they're going to grow and to know that. That the Spirit of God can be within them, despite their age, despite their circumstances. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to go through difficult things at all. But if they can have a heart of joy, then that's going to get them through. Joy ultimately is a fruit of God's Spirit. And yeah, that in a way that I want my kids to know that. And this is the same way that God our Father in heaven wants you to know that too. I'm sure that he is there every day, every time you go to sleep, wanting you to experience his love and his joy and his peace and, you know, all the fruit of the Spirit. He wants us to come before him and rejoice in him always. Rejoice in him always. If you think that joy is just happiness, then that you're going to struggle with that completely. If you're trying to always change your circumstances in life, then you're going to miss perhaps what God is wanting to do there. So chasing after a heart of joy, like David. Like David, he did always have that heart of joy. He messed up so badly. He had circumstances in his life that didn't lead to joy, partly because of his own mistakes, as just as much as other people, you know, pursuing him too. But So how do you do that? How is that possible in a practical way? So part of this is to think about Psalms and as an expression of that, sometimes perhaps writing your story down, reminding yourself of where you've come from, helps you to lift out of circumstances perhaps. And asking joy, if you're really struggling with that, asking God to provide that joy through his Spirit, because God is a God of joy. Yeah, finding joy can be a process, and sometimes it really does require us to be vulnerable before other people and before him, to confess to him all that we're struggling with, to say that I can't find any joy in this moment, and, you know, praying for one another and writing things down and reminding of things that do find you joy, like nature, you know. Like animals, plants, going out in his creation or singing, playing praise songs can bring you great joy. So I'm gonna finish up there because I think that you've got a bit of a good picture of this, and for you, I guess it's just a matter of working it out, of asking God, how do you cultivate a heart of joy in life? And Joe's going to just and lead us into a little bit of time on in perhaps finishing, because perhaps you've been so engrossed in listening to me, and thank you for doing that, but you haven't written anything down, so just give you a little bit more time, and we'll do that, and then I'll come and pray. And you can share some of those things that bring you great joy. So, yeah, thanks, Joe.